And today we are lucky to be joined by Dean Mulligan. Now, Dean, along with Independent TD Claire Daly, recently carried out a survey into the attitudes to bin chargers and the privatisation of waste collection. And Dean joins us on the phone now, thankfully, to tell us about his findings. Good morning, Dean. And first of all, I suppose, maybe if you tell us why you carried out this survey and then the findings of said same survey.
Good morning, Donny. I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks very much. I suppose we carried out the survey, or began the carrying out the survey, in September of 2017. And I suppose the reason that the survey was carried out, because when the bin charges came back on the agenda in July 2017, I met with local residents in August 2017 to have a discussion about what's the best way to tackle the charges, because they were vetoed for the previous year and they were very much impending charges. So we wanted to see what the residents felt was the best approach to tackle the charges. And a huge amount of residents felt that they already had enough stale taxes and the potential increase of a bin charge, because the regulations weren't such that they knew exactly what the charges would be. And to this date, we still don't know what way the charges will look or how they will be priced. So in August 2017, we had a meeting with a group of 60, 70 local residents in the community centre here in River Valley in Sort. And they came together and said, we'd like a survey to see what kind of information people know about the charges, what kind of feedback people think is our plausible solution. So in that meeting, a few people said, what about like bringing it back to public ownership? And I suppose, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do, and it's not within the remit of a local community group to do that. So we said, well, I was looking at the UK model about co-ops, and like the radio station yourself, it's a community-based cooperative. And we said, what is this plausible? Is there an appetite for it? So we conducted the survey on the back of that meeting, and the survey took me from September to November, because there's 12,004 residents in the area. So I got a sample of 930 with a target sample of 1,000. And the findings, do you want me to go into a little bit about the findings now? Or do you want to
I would, Dean, and I think it's a very interesting thing, because it's something which I have heard put forward by a number of people who, you know, would have been pretty critical of the local authorities. But it is one aspect of it where they say that the, and I'm just wondering, was this borne out by your research, where the same people will say, look, our refuse and waste collection was far better managed when it was being done by the local authority? And I'm just wondering, as a result of your survey, was that borne out?
Well, yeah, like the survey did say like that 91.1% of people would prefer local authorities to collect their refuse waste, whether that was convenience price or as a result of the actual way the result was collected. It's kind of a both. It's a mixed bag, really, because there were people who thought that, you know, a private company would do a better job in terms of collecting, because it was like a private business, so it was their job to do it well, whereas the council were doing it as a public service. So some people had a different opinion on that, and I'll go through the findings in a moment. But what we really found out is that, you know, if a co-op was viable, it would say 15 to 25% of the profit that we pay, or 15 to 25% to the amount that we pay now at our current prices, would go back into the pockets of residents alone, because 15 to 25% of all monies collected is profit for these companies. You know, that means extra money into local residents' pockets if it's viable. And people raise questions about staffing levels and job losses. And at the end of the day, the amount of refuse or waste that would have to be collected if a co-op was viable would still require the same amount of staff to serve the area. So there would be no job losses in that sense, because the amount of people we require to collect the waste would be the same as if a private company would have to collect the waste. And I suppose, you know, there is that element of shifting the waste off to China and, you know, tax avoidance things with these you know, unlimited companies and not declaring profits as well.
The thing in relation to that, Dean, is that, you know, we do know, and it has been pretty well broadcast, and it's out there in the ether, that China has basically said, listen, we have enough, we're not taking any more of your waste.
Yeah, of course. Like, and we, like, for instance, you know, for us to, for one dump in the Northern Ireland is one-tenth of the cost that it costs to dump in the south, you know. So the cost to dump refuse waste in the south of Ireland is very, very, very expensive, you know, and I suppose that's one reason why companies make sure that. So that alone, you know, is a concern and issue for to set up a co-op, because if, you know, to do it on a fair basis for the residents, you know, it is an expensive commodity in that sense, because, well, I suppose we don't have the landfill to support the amount of waste that we're producing at the moment. The findings, really, we found out, like, we've done the review of literature, and, you know, at the moment, and it's available on Oireachtas.ie research library, we are currently, the private companies are currently profiting of €250 million a year in household waste alone in Ireland. So, like, that's a huge amount of money for household waste alone. The total domestic or total waste costs profits in Ireland are about €500 million. So house domestic waste equates for half of that. And yeah, as you probably know, like, domestic waste is not nearly half of the waste produced in Ireland. You know, big companies, hotels and stuff produce a lot more waste than the number of houses in this country. Yes, the houses pay half the profits of the overall profits.
And Dean, in your survey there, you're saying that a lot of people were looking to have it returned to the corporation or the council or the local authority. We'll call them local authority, the catch-all phrase. Outside of the cost, what other aspects of the private sector were they unimpressed with?
Well, I suppose we asked, posed the question, you know, new legislation for waste management companies allows them to dictate the price for their service. Do you agree this will increase competition? You know, so at the moment, there is no regulation in the sector, and the regulation, if any, is controlled by the companies themselves, because it's now completely privatised and there is no government or local regulatory body. So we asked the question, do you think having given the waste management out to tender and asking a variety of companies who may be in one area to compete against each other, do you think that will increase competition? And 89% of residents said it won't. You know, 89% of residents said it won't. And, in contrast to that, they actually said it would probably drive up costs because they'll be able to dictate a price themselves.
And, Dean, as we know in this country, usually when these schemes or whatever you want to use are brought into play, the cost usually only goes one way, and that's up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything? I know what you were carrying out was a survey as opposed to research, and there is a slight difference. But other than taking it out of private ownership and putting it back into local authority ownership and removing the profit margin out of it by doing that, did you come across any other way in which you could make refuse collection cheaper for the householder? And a very important question which comes from all of this survey that you carried out, is this going to be just an exercise in relation to the opinions of the residents, or 900-odd residents of River Valley and Swords? Or is Clare Daly going to be in a position to bring this survey to the floor of the Dáil and move bills or motions or open up the debate again in relation to it?
Well, to answer your first question, in terms of is there an alternative, as I alluded to earlier, there is a possibility of an alternative to establish a non-for-profit cooperative bin service serving the Fingal area. At the moment, we have three private bin companies serving the area, And we would, if we as a community group came together and were able to get the majority of residents on board, well, that would mean one bin truck, one domestic bin truck and one recycling bin truck serving the area. So it would reduce the fact that three bin trucks come in and out of each and every estate numerous times a week. So in one instance for the residents. So that, like, we are looking into a non-profit cooperative. But within that, you know, there's a huge amount of things we have to consider. You know, there's the cost of actually ascertaining the bin trucks. There's the cost of the collection. There's the training of the staff. There's a lot of stuff that we...
And I would venture to say, Dean, that very high up on that list will be insurance.
Yeah, of course. Of course, insurance, especially in that industry, is huge because, you know, there's dangers involved in the bin collection services, and there's no two ways about it. You know, they often collect on very busy, dangerous roads and at various times throughout the day. So, yeah, no, there is. Insurance would be huge. But I suppose there is an appetite locally. You know, 98% of residents said they would be of supporting of it if it was viable. And I know as much as 98% sounds like a huge figure to support something, a lot of them said, we're going to say yes to this, but is it viable? And that is the question you're asking. Well, that is something that we're going to have to investigate further. You know, we've seen co-ops work well in other countries. In the UK, there's a variety of co-ops for water schemes, for different things like that. And across the globe, there's a lot of different cooperatives that work well together. Your radio station is a good example of cooperative that works well. So, with regards to Claire bringing it to the down floor, yeah, it's a possibility. But I suppose you can only bring something to the down floor when you ask a question. A lottery, whether you get to, like, they have a lottery every week to see who gets what questions asked. And I suppose if the bin charges legislation comes up again, which it will, and the discussion will come up again. I don't know what date it will come up. I'm sure she will mention it. Like, at the moment, myself and Claire have discussed this in terms of pushing forward, as you said, Donny, about actually now get this information out to the residents. If there's an appetite there, if they like the research, if they're happy with how it looks, let's see if this is viable. Let's see if it's a runner, because it would be huge if a local community could actually set up their own community bin service. It would be a huge thing, and it would really say, you know, to the private sector, you know, less just provide a service, but we can do that too, and we can do that at a fraction of the cost you're providing. So that is obviously, I didn't do the research just for the basis of doing some research. I done it because at the end of the day, I wanted to see if it's a viable option, and, you know, there's definitely an appetite to have a community co-op bin service. So why not? I suppose we just have to do the groundwork now and actually see if it's viable and get it running. Really, you know.
And with that in mind, Dean, I would be very, very interested if you would keep in touch with us. And when that viability study is finished, if you come back to us and we'll chat about that, because I think that is something that, you know, if it can be proved to be viable, of course it can be used as a template by other communities. Just one thing, Dean, before I let you go. And it's something I noticed myself from driving around the city, that even the mere mention of the change and the pricing by weight as opposed by lifts and all that, mm-hmm. that there is an odd junction and crossroads and corner in housing estates now where bags of rubbish are starting to appear again where estates had been cleared, and, you know, people are obviously struggling to pay their bin charges.
Yeah, 100%. It's like anything, you know, these things are put out to private tender, and they would say that it's because it reduces tax. At the end of the day, for the lower to middle income owners, it doesn't reduce tax, because it's another stealth tax that puts them further in the terms of struggling. It makes it harder for them. You know, for the for a minority of people, these private companies are a good thing. But for the majority of people in this country, it's another stealth tax, for want of a better word, that just increases cost on top of other costs that they have to deal with. So, yeah, like, There's no regulation at the moment with regards a minimum price per kilo or a maximum price per kilo. So that is a worry, you know, because there's no set minimum or maximum price a company can charge. We are literally opening the market up for them to decide amongst themselves. Now, the government will argue that if they will come together and try and beat each other's prices. I don't believe that for a minute. I think these companies have already said, we are, there's three companies serving my area. Them companies probably already come together and said, okay, we'll continue serving the same area. We'll charge a similar price and see what label people pick. That's what I envisage. Because
yeah, well, of course, there is no evidence of that, Dean, as such, hard and fast evidence that such a cartel exists. But again, as I said to you, when you have it costed, and, you know, it will be very, very interesting to see what your figures come up as opposed to the industry figures, let us put it that way. Mm-hmm. Dean, let us promise to keep in touch, and when you have more for us, we will be back to you. Dean Mulligan, thank you so much for joining us on Northside Today.
Thank you very much.